Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. We're going to go ahead and get this started. This is going to be a show this morning. We're going to get all up in somebody's uncomfort zone, but these are some things that have to be said. Now, up front, like I said, I don't speak for the city of Waco, the Waco Police Department, the officers, civilian employees, citizens, or City Council of Waco. Everything that I say is my opinion based upon my personal and professional interactions and experiences. Now, on this show, for those of you that are just tuning in, and some of you, you know, if you're some of my white listeners, you might think, oh, my God, what did I tune into if this is your first show? But it's all good. Here, we get down to it, and we get right to the core of what the specific problems are, and we have discussions and dialogue. If you guys want to call in, the number is going to be 646-716-4621, and then you just press 1, and we get you in. Once again, this is not an anti-white show, anti-black show, anti-police show. We don't do politics in here. We don't do religion in here. We get right to the facts. On here, everybody's voice is equal. From the mayor, if 45 himself would call up here, I don't know that I'd take his call. But if people call up here, he's just as equal to a crack addict in the back alley with an Obama phone and a Wi-Fi connection. And here, we keep it real. My Facebook Live crew is monitoring, so if you guys hear me give a shout-out or read a question, that's because they got a question that they want to shoot in. You know, when I was going over topics, I already had some things scheduled out for shows that I wanted to do, and I had another show scheduled for today. But in watching over the last about 3 weeks, watching some of the social media traffic and some of the stuff that's on TV, you get very little of the real news on TV anymore these days. You know, we're dealing with the issues from Waffle House to Starbucks to Nordstrom to the golf course, and all these things have a common thread. And what I was seeing in them is you have white folks, generally not all white folks, so please don't anybody go back and say, he said all white people. No, I'm not saying all white people. I'm saying there is a demographic of white people, a subculture within white people. I don't know if you just don't have black friends, you just don't know any black people, you don't work around any black people. I don't know if you've seen too many Shaft movies or if you still watch Boys in the Hood and think that everybody's selling dope. You know, some of y'all need some diversity in your life, because if you're one of these people, and I'm not talking to all white people, but the ones I'm talking to, you know who you are. You know, if you're one of these people that you see just the sight of a black person makes you think, oh, my God, you go into panic, the hives break out, you're shaking, you're rushing your kids to the car, locking your car doors at a stoplight, trying to get, you got the police on speed dial for 911. Just because there's a black person in the area. If you're one of these store owners, and I've had it happen to me, so I don't want anybody to tell me, oh, that doesn't happen. Yeah, it happens. Where you walk in the store, and all security follows you throughout the store, all the way out the door. You got to make sure your receipt is in your hand. If you go into restaurants, and I've gone in some, and you just sit forever and ever, and ever, waiting to get waited on, you'll know what I'm talking about. If you've been walking down the street, maybe you moved into the neighborhood, maybe you didn't move into the neighborhood, maybe you're visiting a friend, but you're walking down the street minding your own business, and then here comes the call to the police. And before anybody tells me it doesn't happen, I have worked these calls, and I've seen them on the computer screen. This simple. Black male walking down the street. Period. Now, I'm going to preface this. I understand. I don't mind black males peeking in car windows, white male peeking in car windows, black male stopping and taking pictures of houses, doing something that is suspicious, something that's out of the ordinary. Other than, well, they're in the neighborhood and I've never seen them. Well, you may not know everybody in your neighborhood. You know, if I've never been to your house just because I show up in that uniform and that car, you probably never seen me neither. There's got to be more to these calls than just a black person walking down the street, and I've never seen them. Some of these outrageous calls that businesses are starting to get hammered on, they're starting to get crucified on. And this stuff is not, some people are going to say, well, this is just a trend, it's a new social thing. No, this is neither a trend and it's not new. Most of us, if you're black and you're watching this right now, or you're listening, you've had this happen to you. Ladies and gentlemen, it becomes exhausting. It's exhausting to go into a restaurant and hope you get served timely. Hope you don't get accused of something. You can't enjoy your meal. You got some folks staring at you like you don't work and you shouldn't be there because they're there. You shouldn't be. You got to hope you're not accused of something. You can't enjoy your food. It is uncomfortable. Black folks have learned to play it off. We play it off well, but it's aggravating. You go and visit a friend. I have a lot of white friends that I'll go visit. Some are in Austin. Some are in Dallas. And coming out of their neighborhoods, I got to hope and pray. And, I mean, it's tense. Lord, just let me get out of here and get on 35. And not get the, well, there's a black guy in a Chevy truck that just pulled out of here. I've never seen that truck before. Now, I got to throw some of this, too, down on the police departments. The officers who respond are accountable for their individual actions at the scene. But hello, chiefs of police. I got to be on y'all every week behind some nonsense. Chiefs, listen to me. You're setting your departments up to be sued. You're setting your officers up to have their reputations ruined on social media following a misguided policy that, oh, we respond to everything citizens call in. That's BS, chiefs. So if your citizens call in that a green man from Mars just landed in the front yard and took the dog's food and left, you're going to send officers out there to that. That's nonsensical. And these calls where these officers are being set up a lot of times, not by, well, by some of these racist, bigoted, or just socially or racially ignorant callers, but a lot of times they're set up by a defective, failed policy in the police department from a bygone age of we answer every call. A black person walking down the street, you stop that person. That's all you got. Now, bear in mind, we take reasonable suspicion. We develop probable cause. We make arrests. People get convicted. People go to jail. That's called an investigative string. That's a technique. That's our skill. That's our job. You mean to tell me we can't look at a BS call sitting on a computer screen, black male walking down the street, and we can't put in our heads there's nothing suspicious there? Ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you the vast amount of officers that I've worked with, they do see it. They don't like going on these calls. It is aggravating to go out there. Some of them will drive by and go, yep, he's walking, and they'll leave. But then you get these citizens, well, that officer didn't even stop him. I want to file a complaint on the officer because he didn't stop that person. So the officer goes back maybe and stops that person. Once he stops that person, and the guy says, well, you're just stopping me because I'm black. The officer can't lie, absolutely. That's exactly why I'm stopping you. Because some citizen called in and said nothing but, I'll read it to you off the screen. Let's see. Black male walking down the street. I've never seen him. Yep, that's exactly why I stopped you. Now, that officer looks like a fool. But he's following policy. Set forth if the department says we go to these ridiculous calls, then we go to them. And it seems like there should be an ordinance or something in place to start charging these people who make these ridiculous calls. Because too many men have ended up in jail, beat up in the hospital, and sometimes dead behind somebody's paranoid call about a suspicious black male. Now, I know some people are saying, well, that really doesn't happen that much. Let's go to, Saraland, Alabama, the Waffle House incident, April 23rd. 3 weeks earlier, police wrestled a black woman to the ground at a Waffle House in Alabama, leaving her breasts exposed during the scuffle. In the Alabama incident, a woman questioned why she was charged extra for plastic utensils. The customer got in an argument with the employees, and the situation spiraled out of control at the police call. Now, some people would say, why would she complain about it? Why didn't she just take the utensils and go forward? Well, the fact of the matter is she did. What would it have cost to hand the woman the plastic silverware that she was getting for her meal to go? If she's getting her food to go, and that's if she, God forbid, she picked up the silverware on the table, because then she'd be sitting in jail for theft. Probably grand larceny. That was a simple thing to do. But what did Waffle House do? Let's get the police to come in and handle this business for us. That could have been handled. That's when you have bad employees. And the bad thing is, I like Waffle House. I like their food. But one incident by one employee or a series of employees can make the entire chain look stupid. Starbucks was a perfect example of that. The incident in Philadelphia, we all saw that. You know, and the police commissioner, Richard Ross, you know, he came on and he did his deal. He said that the officers basically didn't do anything wrong. They were called to the Starbucks based upon a criminal trespass where the gentleman refused to leave. But we know how that was. They wanted to use the restroom. They were denied using the restroom. And that's Starbucks policy, evidently. I don't go in there, so I don't know. But that's their policy. So the gentleman went back and sat down. You guys know it. You've seen the video. They waited on their ride or their meeting, their partner to come for the meeting. Meanwhile, they don't go over and say, we need you guys to leave. Are you waiting to order anything? Can we help you? Can we get you something? Then those guys, more than likely, especially as intelligent as they are, they would have said, no, we're waiting on another person. We have a meeting scheduled. We'll order when we all get here. No. No. What's the first thing that happens? Get the police on the phone. You guys, I can tell you, the black people are getting tired of it. It's exhausting. You know, we can look at the Brentwood, Missouri, the Nordstrom deal that happened on May 3rd. You know, let's see. Nordstrom leadership apologized to the families of three young men after they were falsely accused of stealing from the Brentwood store in Policeville car. Mikhail Lee, 19, a Jesuit high school graduate who is a freshman at Alabama A&M University, was with the East St. Louis Senior High, Eric Rogers, and two other guys. They basically went into the Nordstrom's and got accused of stealing. Paid for everything they had their receipts, walked out the store. You know, he said that when they walked in the store, all the store security immediately started following them around. Most of us are used to that. You know, he said that when they got confronted, they got out of the store and they were arguing with the clerk or discussing it with the clerk that came out. An elderly woman walked by and called them punks. Just look at these guys, the young black kids coming out of Nordstrom, and automatically they're punks. Now, they're not supposed to say anything back. Okay? Basically, the police that showed up on this particular call, the kids did credit them. You know, they said that the officers were very polite. The police let us tell our story. This is what one of the kids said. The police did their job. They also read us the police report where Nordstrom said we had stolen items. See, officers, these officers did an excellent job. They recognized that there could be some BS in this. So they didn't go up to these kids and treat them like criminals and thugs and assume they were guilty. They stopped and talked to them, just like they talked to the store clerk. And then they found out that these kids have receipts for everything that they had purchased. And then the police could go in and vent how they felt with the store, with the management there. But that case was handled a lot different than a lot of them that we see. Those kids would have been handcuffed, thrown in the police car. We'll get your story downtown. Nordstrom's told us this, and that's good enough. But these officers did an excellent job in handling that case. You know, you can say, well, all they got to do is go to school, get an education, do right, and everything will be all right. Just go to college and you'll be okay. Well, let's talk about somebody who did go to college. You know, there was a black woman that was going to Yale who was studying for a test, and she's in the day room, a common area, and she's in there sleeping, And a white student that lives upstairs comes in the day room, leaves out of her private dorm room, mind you. Like, she's the hall monitor. Somebody, she's like the George Zimmerman, I guess, of the dorm minus the gun. She comes into the day room, flips the light on, and then proceeds to question this woman as to why she's there. Now, I could understand if the lady hadn't been studying, but when she says she's been studying, in my mind, I'm seeing, like, maybe some papers, some pens thrown around on the table, things that would indicate this is not someone off the street. Homeless people don't go into Ivy League schools with laptops and crash in the day room. It doesn't happen. But this woman, for whatever reason, got up from her dorm room and decided to be the hall monitor and went into that day room and started messing with that woman. The police came out, and they handled it, you know, and they dealt with it as far as when the sergeant got there. The initial officers, you know, we need to know that you stay here. We need to know that you stay here. Well, the woman opened up her dorm room with her keys. It's a pretty good indicator. Right there in front of them. Well, we need your dorm ID. I don't have a problem with that. And, I mean, if you watch the video, they held the ID forever. I don't know how slow their dispatch is getting returns back, but this lady was getting frustrated, and I can't really say that I blame her. You know, what business does this woman have worrying about who's sleeping in the common area, working on a paper? Now, this woman lived upstairs. The black student lived upstairs from the white student, or the white student lived upstairs from the black student. Now, I got to guess that you passed each other because the black girl knew a lot about the white girl, knew a lot about her and different calls that she had made in the past. So there was some familiarity there. So you got to say, why would this girl, who obviously has seen this woman come in and out, has seen her walking around in the dorm, has seen her on campus, why would you call the police? And then I know it's the campus police, but, I mean, to come make a federal case out of something that was so trivial. That video was ridiculous. And, you know, we can say, well, all you got to do, it's rough. Oh, Lord have mercy. You go through a lot. Times are rough. You got to learn to chill out. Just find something to go play basketball, go fishing, go to the shooting range. Whatever it is that calms you, go do that. Just please don't go play golf up in Pennsylvania. Let's talk about that one. All right, on April 25th, five black women were told to golf faster. Then the club called the police. A largely white suburban community in Dover Township, York County, Pennsylvania, and I know where that is, they were playing at the Grandview Golf Club, and they were told that they were moving too slow, said one of the women. The day started out with a hiccup. Frost on the course delayed their tee off time by an hour, Ms. Thompson said. So they weren't able to start playing until 11 a.m. Though a foursome is the norm, the club permitted a group of five, she said. Then as they teed off on the hole, she explained they were approached by a former county commissioner who, according to the New York Daily or the York Daily Record, which is the paper there, serves in an advisory role for the golf course. He asked them twice to leave and threatened to cancel their memberships over the pace of play, she said. Now, it's enough to make you go crazy sometimes. Certainly, this is not all white folks, and this is what really frustrates me, because I have white friends who are embarrassed by this kind of stuff. They're embarrassed by it. I know friends of mine, I work with coworkers, who are sick and tired of being used as a go-between, as a hitman, as a attack dog. For somebody who just, well, there's a black person in the neighborhood, and I don't know what they're doing here. I want the police. That kind of stuff is going to get someone hurt. It does nothing to foster police-community relations. It destroys police-community relations at its core. It rips them apart. Chiefs, you are going to have to man up and tell the community sometimes we're not coming, period. You get paid enough, chief. We are not coming to that. That's nonsense. The police are not here because you see somebody walking down the street you don't know. That is not our job. Now, if they're looking in cars, if they're looking in houses, if they're doing something that is suspicious, even if it's by your wild imagination suspicious, we should come, and we do come to those. But when you can call and say nothing more than there's a black guy walking down the street, and I get this one too, there's a white guy in a black neighborhood. What's this white girl doing over here? This is a black neighborhood. And you know what? Strangely, it's not the black people in the black neighborhood that call them in. Absolutely. It's not. I've seen those calls on a computer screen too. White woman in a black area, in a black neighborhood. And it's not a black person calling it in. Sometimes you want to look at some folks, and this is going to rub some folks the wrong way, but it's real. And you just want to look across the table at them, and you just want to say, mind your own damn business. You know, the video that's on there of the guys having a barbecue in Oakland in the park. A lady comes by. She wants to be the charcoal police. And she's on the phone bothering LAPD, and the guy come out, or Oakland PD. That guy didn't want to be bothered with her in that mess. For 2 hours, she's walking around with a cell phone. Then when they flipped it on her, then she wanted to start crying. Now, that video is very important. It's on my page. You guys go look at it because it's systemic of what we see. This woman was the aggressor. She approached some people minding their own business. And for 2 hours, sat there and annoyed them and picked at them while she was on the phone with the police. Then when a white lady, mind you, came out and called her out on it, she's walking away. That white lady followed her because she had given her card. She wanted it back. This woman is just on the phone. Then once she sees a police car, she starts crying. The hand goes up, and she's shaking, and she's so bent over because this white woman followed her, taking up for those black folks. See, this is the optics. This is the show. And like I said, don't go away from here thinking it's all white people, because it's not all white people. But there are some that there are black people today in jail, in a hospital, with criminal records, or for somebody else's irrational fear. Guess what? America is not going to lighten up. Just some of y'all just better suck it up and take it. America is getting browner and browner, and it's going to continue. And some of y'all going to have nightmares. And I'm not talking, generally, I'm not talking to the people that are on here, because the same people I'm talking to are the same people that will look at my picture with the hoodie and the uniform and run. So, you know, spread the word and share the wealth. And I got a special guest on here that's with me today that's going to talk about something that's key into this. And this is Dr. Jay Hall. I mean, Dr. Jay is the man. And he's going to talk about implicit bias real quick, and then we're going to get to your calls as to why, because he can get into the technical explanations of why, what happens in people's minds and what causes this. Because like I said, we want to all get on track. Because black folks, you know, we do our wrong too, and we've done shows, and I'll light us up too when we have to do it. So if you're tuning in, this is your first show and you're white, don't get frustrated. Just hang in here, because next week we're going to tear somebody else up. But at this time, I want to get the good brother in here. Dr. J, can you hear me?
I sure can. And as always,
all right, brother, look, explain this nonsense. What is wrong with some folks?
Well, thank you for inviting me, as always. And I would like just to tell the audience that my background is in organizational behavior. I spent 30 years in law enforcement. I'm still on the front line and trying to take a look at police training and how we can improve policing across the country as a result of some of the things that you brought out just recently. But one of the things that I want to start off with is a general statement about behavior. Behavior is governed by three things. And it's they're all tied together. Our cognitive mind, our emotional mind, and those actions that we have. So when you bring out an issue like implicit bias, you also have to look at, is implicit bias just an outcome? Is it a behavior? Because the way it has been recently defined, it has been defined as a person who is unaware of their behavior. Well, all behavior is learned. So if you learn something, whether you forget it or not, it's still learned behavior. So I would like to say when we speak of something such as implicit bias, I would like to say that it is a process. It is a process that involves our behavior. It is a process that involves how we think, and it's a process of how we feel, our emotions. So I just wanted to throw that out in general. Now, why is this such an area, and why do I take the position that I take? Some of the things that you just got through talking about, Stan, they basically are symptomatic of the society that we live in. We live in a society that has been polarized for years. We live in a society where we have been marginalized. Certain groups have been marginalized. And so when you look at the polarization and the social distance between groups, you're going to have certain fears of episodes where you may feel uncomfortable. But when we look at this from the standpoint of how the brain works, all biases are part of what we call pattern recognition. What that means is that if you have a daily routine of doing something, and this is the way you do it, whether it's in law enforcement, whether it's at your job, whether it's a family ritual, anything that is a change from that routine creates an alertness, and that alertness makes it an inherent bias to what you've been accustomed to. So that is the way the brain operates. It operates that way because this is how it evolved. It evolved from the standpoint of instincts, emotions, and then cognitive thinking, higher level of thinking. But that's how it evolved. So when you see a change in any type of pattern, what takes place is the emotional brain is supposed to alert you, and that's not a bad thing. Is part of the survival mechanism. So this is basically what goes on. It's automatically triggered. And the bias becomes a subtle threat. It can become a major threat based on your past experiences. If these experiences are negative, they have been hardwired, and this is the same thing that happened with military personnel when it comes to post-traumatic stress. They can see a similar situation, and they automatically are triggered, even though that triggering may not be the same, include the same factual information. They have been triggered by the emotional brain. And so that's part of the bias, that's part of the threat, that's part of how the brain begins to work. So when you become more aware of this process, and the process is called Almadella hijack. The Almadella is basically part of the emotional brain. And Almadella operates at a speed of 20 milliseconds. Compared to the cognitive brain, which operates at a speed of 300 milliseconds. So, and this is the way the brain operates. So if you're not aware of this, whether it be road rage, whether it be pattern recognition, whether it be domestic violence, all of these type of things can trigger the emotional brain to start working. The problem is the emotional brain does not collect all the information because it's just trying to get a resolution. Some researcher, one in particular, a guy by the name of Kamen, I always like to give people credit for what's due, he came up with differentiating between the emotional brain and the cognitive brain. He called emotional brain system one thinking. He called the cognitive brain system two thinking. This is important because we're not just operating under one system. We have two systems that are competing with each other, and we have to understand that because if we choose system one, the fast brain, or the emotional brain, the characteristic of that system is that it's automatic. You get an automatic response.
Absolutely. That's what we're seeing.
You may have something like implicit bias, which is supposed to be unconscious behavior. Some of us debate that. Then you may have something like where you have system two thinking. The cognitive brain is more slow and deliberate because it is trying to utilize all the information that may be available. Let's call it critical thinking. It's more conscious. It's more effort for it, you know, and it's there for more complex decisions. So the outcome is that when we use the emotional brain, it's more error-prone than the system two cognitive brain. And we have to be aware of that because when we make that decision of which one we're using, most of the times we're going to make some poor judgment calls. And that's probably what you're referring to, Stan, when you see some of these things that's going on at Starbucks and some of these situations you were describing earlier. But the other thing that I want to point out is we also have to understand that our decision-making is affected by cognitive biases also. Well, what are you talking about, Dr. J? What I'm talking about is how we look at the data. Is the data we're looking at that's available, is it old data or new data? Another cognitive issue is called representativeness. Is the sample of that scene that we go to, is it representative of the pool of events that we are aware of, or the pool of events that we have been exposed to, and so do we automatically assume without looking at each fact in that situation that, oh, this is the same old domestic violence case that I had 6 months ago. I'm going to treat these individuals the same way I treated the individual 6 months ago. So we automatically, that's a cognitive bias. We're not talking about those. We're not talking about those issues. And then the third one I want to throw out is called anchoring. And when you asked me to come on the show, I did a little research. So, again, I want to give credit to a gentleman who put this together. His name was he didn't give a name, but his group is a biometric research platform, 2017. So this information is all current, and some of this information I do have in some of my research books.
You lighting up the lines, Doc, because we got some callers waiting on you. So
okay.
I'm gonna go on and get that one out.
Okay,
I got one that's been waiting here for a while.
Okay, did you want me to finish up? I let them go ahead.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
well,
you're gonna be here a while. Callers.
Okay. The last thing I wanted to say is that we have to understand and connect that learning, we have to focus on how we learn and how we reinforce learning in law enforcement, okay?
Absolutely.
Because that impacts our decision making. And so this is a topic that we have not talked about, and so this is one of the reasons I was glad that you invited me to the show. So with that, I'll go ahead and defer and take a call.
Okay, well, we got your mic open, Doc. Stand by. The caller in the 314 area code, last four is 4644. You're behind the blue curtain. What's going on?
Oh, nothing much. You know, I want to put this point out there. You know, I hear in many cases that you cast blame on people for a certain reaction that they have. But when do responsibility be cast on those that commit actions that cause others to have certain biases or certain behaviors? Let me give you a couple of examples. One time I was in Egypt with some brothers, a group, and we was in down deep south Abu Simbel, right on the northern Sudan border. None in these areas but black and people of color. Some of the young teenagers that was with us went out into the markets, and they was greeted by their peers, you know, those of the age. What's up, my niggas? Now, that had to be something that was that they was relegated to see in order to come up with that type of expression. Another case we had was in another part of Africa. I believe it was Ethiopia. I'm not sure. And this black woman, American woman, got off the tour bus. And, you know, all of a sudden, a bunch of black kids started coming toward her. Not to do her harm, but to, you know, touch her and so on and so on. Well, she looked and seen this happen. She ran back on the bus. So to say that only whites have this fear is totally a misconception, because blacks have the fear too. In black communities, when blacks see some other blacks that's in the community or in their location, their neighborhood, they will call the police. And you know, one of the reasons why come blacks don't call the police, because the police will come to their house and knock on the door and ask what the problem is, and all of a sudden they give away, you know, who
right.
called the
yeah.
police.
Yep.
So we have these stories that we always want to cast blame on whites. And it's if that's your experience, it is good. But you have to also look at both sides of the coin. And we, for some reason
right.
or another, there's this, and I don't know exactly how to call it, there's this disposition, there's this mentality that everybody look at whites as being a problem, but they're just acting out how even blacks act out under certain circumstances. Now, you know, the thing at Harvard is one case. You had blacks at
yeah.
Cornell University. Hang on for a second. You had blacks at Cornell University.
It was Yale. It wasn't Harvard.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Thank you. You had blacks
yeah.
at Cornell University, a black student group, that complained to the administration over African, saying you were letting too many Africans into the school,
mm-hmm.
who was scoring outstandingly. Y'all kind of understand what I'm saying? This goes
yeah,
on.
Yeah, I do.
And actually, you're talking about a human condition. People
right.
act out
but,
based
but
on their experiences.
Right. And I'm not disagreeing with you. But what I'm saying is, and the examples you just gave, I agree 100% in what you're saying. But in none of those examples were the police called. I'm talking
oh,
about
yes, they have. Well, no, wait a minute. Hang on.
Let
I just
let,
didn't
let
get
let
to
me,
that
let
point.
Let me finish. I listen
yeah.
I listen to you. Let me finish one second. I'll get that to you. I'm talking
yes, sir.
About when you can't go in a restaurant and sit down. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but I haven't read it yet where some black folks come in and sit down in the restaurant and other black folks call the police on them. Or they go into Starbucks and the black clerk behind the counter calls the police on them. I'm not saying it's all white people or only white people. But I'm saying, by and large, when you go into these stores, whether the black security guard is told to follow you or the white security guard is told to follow you, somebody has made the decision that you need to be followed because of what color you are. Now, they're not following white folks around the stores like they follow the black folks around the store.
Stan,
okay,
can I
so I'm not saying, Yeah, go ahead, Doc.
Caller.
Yes.
Let me clarify what I was saying. I said that as a result of polarization, socialization, and marginalization, that our society looks at these symptoms, okay? Mm-hmm. We have learned these things because it becomes part of our social routine. Now, so what I am saying is that the way the brain works is called pattern recognition. Yes, we have black-on-black crime. We have been socialized to dislike one another. Ain't no white folks involved. But that's what we've been socialized. And what I'm saying is, so if you take white people out the equation,
mm-hmm.
and you look at black people, and you say, why are you harming another black person? Well, that person or those individuals have been socialized. So what I'm saying is, when you have these patterns that's built up and you've been hardwired to think a certain way, and you've learned this stuff from someone, then it becomes your responsibility to learn additional information like I'm trying to share with how the brain works, which is neutral information. It does not have a political lens to it.
Mm-hmm.
It has a neutral scientific lens, which would help whether you be white, brown, red, black, to understand. You could be engaged in a domestic violence situation with your girlfriend, wife, fiance. If you ask the majority of black men who, let's say, caught a case, who are in prison with their wives, their close friend or whatever, if they understood how the brain works and how someone can trigger your amygdala to react where you're operating in 20 milliseconds instead of 300 milliseconds, then if you understand that that's what the brain will do, if you don't keep it in check and you don't hit the pause button, then you possibly could have self-regulated yourself if you had this information. So the information that I'm providing is neutral information. It's not part of a political narrative for one side or the other. I'm trying to educate people across the board, because these things happen in every ethnic group you have,
exactly.
You know, and so that's the point that I'm making. So
yeah, I knew you were going to try to get me off real fast. Don't do that.
No, man, I got up.
Hang on, let me get this out there, because see, when I read the caption in the wording under your caption, it's directed at whites. And I'm telling you
that
it's not
that
just whites.
Topic.
Well, let me finish,
right,
please. I want to hurry
no.
up.
Oh, go
man,
ahead.
I tell you the truth. Listen, this is what you're talking about is human nature. I'm married to a woman from Ghana. I spent a lot of time in the African continent. Same thing goes on there, too, and everybody's black. And see, what we tend to miss here is that everything here in the United States seemingly, and sometimes there's good reason, to be blacks versus whites. But I'm telling you that you have, in black society, give you an example. In Ferguson, you had an area which is a mile north and about a mile west of Ferguson, Missouri, that the blacks in that community said, y'all ain't coming up in here with that mess. So you do have this same type of biases that goes on amongst blacks against blacks based on the experiences and the conditioning that they have experienced. And that's all I ask. It's two sides to a coin.
You know, and you're right. And if you go back through the shows, you're going to see where when we got on black crime, I said up front, don't even mention white folks because I'm not going to take your call. Period.
That's a good idea.
Hang on. When we talk about a specific part of the issue, I'm going to keep it focused right there on that issue. It's not that all white people are doing it. It's today we're talking about white fear. That's what we're talking about.
All right. And there's black fear, too, because I know some black stores you can go into, and they will follow you.
Now, there you go. Now I can talk. Now, go back and look at the other shows, and when you do that, you're going to see where we talk specifically about the black problem. So we're not going to muddy the water up. We're big boys and girls. When we go to a problem, we're going to talk about that aspect of the problem. And next week, we're going to talk about another aspect of the problem. So it's not to say that all white people are the problem and black people don't do it. Today, we're talking about white fear. Now, when we talked about black-on-black crime, and like I said, you can go back and listen to the show. I said, if you even mention the word white, I'm hanging up on you. We're not going to bring white folks in. I said, we're going to eat this apple. And we're going to have to deal with the conversation. So he can go back and he can check that show. TKD, you're up. You got anything you want to chime in here and add?
Well, of course. I'm hearing this back and forth, and it sounds to me very distinctly that we're still making excuses for the criminalization of the very word black itself that has been logged in, it has been couched into the language, and we know when it deals with language, language can either be visual, verbal, or written, or as we know, as embodied language. And when you graft a word black, which does not identify an ethnic group or a race for the so-called educated folks out there, still using it in 2018, we're not black. Neither are white, as they want to say whites, but we're still using these, and I'm going to say it like it needs to be said, these retarded phrases, and then act like we're educated. There is reasonable suspicion because it's suspect, and it is probable cause because they were proactive in putting together a cause that was going to elevate a certain people and lower what we would call, say, the existence or standards of another people. We know what this is all about. It's about white supremacy, and of course you gotta put the tail on the donkey, because who was the one that was in charge of the curriculum and organizing the data, the information, the knowledge to teach the masses of people? So you got a lot of black people that are running around here just as confused about who they are as well as white folks. So it's gonna play out on both parts. So you do have warranted, like a warrant. You serve somebody a warrant. It is warranted because of the bad information that was given to people. So now it has created, the results have created these insecurities, these fears that are warranted because of the information they received. I believe Dr. Jay said something about what they were taught. They had to learn that from something. As you said many times, Officer Stan Mason, my brother, you said cultural conditioning. We all know it as systemic racism. So there's prejudices, and when prejudice, that doesn't just mean white, black. It means prejudging your own self, discriminating against your own self, thinking bad about your own self. It ain't a white, black thing. So I'm not into all of that. But it has been programmed in the masses. They have been trained. It's like our networks on our phones. If you on AT&T, your network won't work with what's another one, a Sprint or T-Mobile. So there is an operational system that was put in place, a network, and it causes emotional response by way of how we behave, simply because we are vibrational beings. We have energy. If you don't think you're vibrational beings, then tell me, why do they use an electrocardiogram to see if your brain waves are working? When Dr. J talks about these neuroreceptors and all that, what do you think that is? That's energy in motion. What do you think a respiration is? It's a vibration. It's a movement of air taking in oxygen and burning off this thing called carbon dioxide. What do you think that electrocardiogram is? It's a movement of a, what we know, again, as a vibration. It's a thump. boom, boom. That is a vibration. Your chest rises and falls. We are emotional. We are energy beings. We are vibrational. And if I have to disagree when people say we have to understand, no, we don't. We don't have to understand if we don't want to understand. And a lot of people don't want to understand because it gives a certain people a certain place still on a hierarchy in a society that looks at other people as they're less than them. So, yes, we have tribal wars. We continue to have tribal wars. We've always had tribal wars. That goes with every ethnic group. Asia, whether it was within the Chinese triads or whether it's in Italy with the, as they say, the mafia, let's say the organized crime, families are fighting. So let's not make this thing, it's not a white-black thing. It is a persuado title or word that's attributed to a group of people, and they have, and I'm going to end with this, they have criminalized it because they have made up phrases like the Black Plague, which was originally called the Bubonic Plague. They make words up like blackballed, and you've been blacklisted, and it's a Black Monday when the stock market crashed, and it's a Black Widow spider. Go look what a Black Widow spider really looks like. They use black traditionally to go to funerals, white when you get married. Even in the old cowboy movies, they wore black hats for the bad guy, and the good guy would wear the white hat. In vegetation and crops, they got this thing called black rot even. So black has always been attributed with something evil, sinister, negative, and in this place, suspicious. So I don't blame it. And when you even want to shoot your pool, what happens? It's a big white ball hitting all the other color balls, and if you hit the black ball in first, you win. Hey, but if you don't do that, then if you hit it any time before that, before you knock all the other color balls in, what happens? You lose. And even when you cue up on the eight ball, if that cue ball falls in at the same time after you hit the black ball in, you still lose. So they got it in all kind of ways. They have grafted it into the psyche of people when you look at the word black with an eyeball. Right. And when you say the black sheep of the family, first and foremost, that has nothing to do with their characteristic or their nature insofar as their innocence, because a sheep is considered something that is innocent. So just because it's black, don't make it evil. But they also have the black cat. It's the same thing. They've been playing the same optic game with us, and if people are going to sit up here and try to play like it don't affect them, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to other people. And we got to correct that mess because it is a bunch of mess. Because you can't tell me a black cat is bad luck and a white cat is good luck.
Right.
Unless you are systemically programmed to be a habitual recycling racist. I'm going to leave it like that.
Well, we're going to do the roll call here in a second, but just, you know, to go back through, I mean, this show, I understand it's not for everybody, this particular topic, but it was on my mind, and I'm just going to put it out there. It's been the elephant in the room. It's all over social media. People are sitting back waiting on CNN, MSNBC, Fox, and everybody else to talk about it, and they don't care what you have to say. You can't call into them and say nothing, and they're not going to Facebook Live and have your comments. I appreciate everybody's point of view. And we're not saying by any stretch that white people are solely the problem. I believe I said earlier, even black folks will call in on some of this. But by and large, a lot of these instances that we're seeing, it becomes frustrating. And I got a lot of young brothers, and I'm very fortunate. A lot of these young guys in their 20s will listen to me. Listen to the show or download it, or they'll say, man, I saw it or something. And these guys, they're absolutely sick and tired. I don't think the older culture knows we can be so intelligent sometimes that we're dumb as hell. You know, they don't have a pulse on these young guys. See, they're not going to sit on the curb and sing spirituals and let you squirt them with water hoses. This is a different mentality. And everybody that you squirt with that water hose, there's going to be some white kids sitting there, because these young kids today have transcended this racial nonsense. You know, they're not going to, you can go in there, white kids are not calling the police because black kids walk into, this is some our generation stuff. And it becomes frustrating sometimes when you can't go in a restaurant and eat without having to worry. You got to plot out which way you're going to drive because you have to worry. You go in the shop, you got to wonder if you're going to be stopped when you're leaving embarrassed because somebody's going to say that you took something. And then once they find out you didn't, half the store has watched the police standing out there talking to you. It's frustrating for a lot of good officers across this country to have to go to these ridiculous calls and massage people's bigotry or their ignorance or their arrogance or their pompousness to where they don't want to know anybody who looks different than them. And because they're there, you shouldn't be there because somehow your presence demeans them. And then the police get called in. Do black people do it? Yes, they do. But by and large, on the grand scale, like I said, I don't see a lot of black people who are calling the police because another black person came in the restaurant. That wasn't a black student that came down and yelled to the girl that was sleeping in the day room and called the police on her. And I'm not saying it's all white people. I'm saying there are some white folks who are out of touch with black folks, don't want to meet black folks. And by the same way, there's a lot of black folks who don't want to meet white folks, out of touch with white folks. So it's equal. But today, we're talking about white folks. Now, we're going to have another show, and we're going to deal with black folks' unwillingness to extend that olive branch. But today, when we're dealing with this topic, this is what we're going to deal with. And we're not going to make excuses. I had a couple people on the Facebook Live that you know, and I'm thankful for everybody's call. Everybody's got an opinion. And if you notice, I give everybody equal time on here. You know, the caller's got about as much time as the co-host and the guest. But you know, we're not going to make any excuses. But what we're going to do now, we're going to go down through the roundtable before we get out. Doc, I'm going to start with you. You got 2 minutes. Whatever you want to put out, any topic that you want to talk about, and there you go.
Okay. Well, thank you for the 2 minutes. I just want to respond to the last call of my brother. Basically, what I'm saying is a lot of this has been hardwired. A lot of what you're talking about, symptoms of a system that has been put in place. And it starts.
Everybody wants coffee. You want
system.
Right.
Our education system compared to what we spend in correction problems less than what we spend in correction.
And could I get
your phone's breaking
1350 on pump 5.
Okay, try that now.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's a lot better. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is my point. A lot that we look at today in society is based on this polarization that we have looked at, historically. One of the issues that we need to focus on, because a lot of what we're talking about has to do with miseducation. And that miseducation you can put in tangible terms when you look at how much we spend on corrections versus how much we spend on education. So we are setting our young people up, and no one is jumping up and down about the fact that we're not even giving our young people the opportunities to compete on a global scale. So this miseducation originated with the slave code. And if we want to really change the systemic conditions that we're looking at on a day-to-day basis, which results into the Starbucks and the Yales and all those type of incidents, we need to get a grip on education financing so we can empower these young people so they can take a leadership position, because folks in my generation dropped the ball.
Right.
That's the truth of the matter. And so if we want to see the next generation and correct some of these flaws in the system, then we need to correct the miseducation, and we can start by changing the funding model. So with that, I'm going to yield and let someone else share their point of view.
All right, Doc. Hey, I appreciate you spending time and coming on and dropping that knowledge in there to us, because, man, I tell you what, you got that straight-up point of view that nobody can argue with, and it cuts through all the nonsense and brings some logic into some insane topics. You know, before I let Tyrone get his 2 minutes in, I got to give two shout-outs. First one is to the Brentwood Police Department. They handled the incident at Nordstrom's. And I hope that they will post the video of themselves handling it, because I feel like a lot of us out here doing the job can learn from whatever it is they did out there, because the kids were real impressed with how they handled it. Also, there's on my Facebook, I posted an officer who came upon a small child that was in distress on the side of the road with a family. And this guy was, you know, did CPR, and he told the dispatcher, "I don't have time to wait on the ambulance. I'm a half a mile away." And he jumped in his patrol car with this baby, and he was a white officer. And that was a black child. Not that it matters, but this guy is a hero. This guy, not because he did his job, he went beyond. This man, that made my night looking at that video. And then it showed the follow-up pictures where he was there with the child and he connected with that family. We need more officers like this guy. We need more officers like those officers in Brentwood that took the time with those three young kids and said, "Hey, what's going on? What happened in the store? Let me see." And then went back and told them, "This is what the store is saying," instead of leaving them in the dark. That's what happens when you get out the car and you talk to people and you connect with people, whether it's a black officer with white folks or white officer with black folks. Officers, get out of the car. It's the little things. I bet that to that mother, that officer that saved her child, is the only thing greater than him probably is Jesus. And to see that man take that baby in one hand and get in his patrol car and tear off down the road to get that baby. See, you can't teach that in no academy class. That man came with that. That's his morals. That's his goals. That's his he brought that to the job. The job didn't teach it to him. So we got to start hiring more people like that and less of these heroes, these ones that you see on TV. Get more officers like that. Whatever they use to make that man, we need to start setting up the examinations by that psychological exam and grade them by him. Because that guy made my night, and I'm going to get his name and post it up again. But it's on my page if you guys want to see it. Ty, 2 minutes, brother. What you got for us?
I just want to say what Dr. J said, I definitely piggybacking off of what he said. I understand exactly where he's coming from as far as being hired wise, and this is why I referred to back to the educational system, as they call it. It doesn't work for us. It's wrong. It's biased. And as long as we're constantly studying, reading, and memorizing a biased educational system, which is not really educational, because you look at the root word of education, is that dude, and it means to bring out the best of other people. No, that education, what they call education, is really a training. It's a program. They have trained people to think a certain way, act a certain way, and we got to get out of that matrix of a mindset so that all people can rise and we can have some serious, not just dialogue, but some serious evolution in the sense of human behavior on the planet, insofar as we're so behind and when it comes to technology. See, what I mean by that is technology is so surpassed human behavior. Now, how is it that happens? You know what I mean? So we're falling behind with human behavior, though technology is taken off, though technology was created by the human mind. So that shows you right there, we got some serious disruptions in our neurotransmitters inside this brain of ours. So we got to do a lot of regurgitating, and as the layman would say, throw up a lot of the stuff that was fed to us and get a better diet, a better sense, so we can act like we got more sense. And I'm going to leave it like that.
All right. I want to give a shout-out to the Facebook Live crew, everybody that tuned in. Man, the lines, a lot of y'all called in. If you wanted to get in, all you got to do is press 1, and I'd have got you in here. But you guys can support me, man, and we're all learning from each other, and we're going to talk about hard issues here. And, you know, some of these, I think, you know, man, do I really want to, I don't know, do I want to talk about this? But you know what? Sometimes things need to be talked about, and people need to get it out, and people need to vent. And like I said, this is not a show today to say all white people are this or all white people are that, because there are a whole lot of white folks that are on the Facebook Live that are chiming in, and they're right there in the conversation. So we're dealing with human issues here, and this show is always going to be cutting edge. And you can make a comment on the Facebook, and there's folks there with you. I see Mark is out there. You can call into the show. You hit one, I'm going to put you on. As you can see with the one caller, that's a good brother. We don't always agree on everything, but he calls. And you know, I learn from him every time he calls, and he gets mad because I can't get him 30 minutes to have his own show. But I let him get most of his stuff out because he's got a lot to say. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to give you your time. I'm not going to limit you to 30 seconds. Because I learn from you guys, and you guys learn from me. And I don't know, you may be on here venting. This may stop you from doing something. You know, all of us, you know, let's just put the social media down for a minute and get to know somebody who doesn't look like you, who doesn't think like you. Because one of these days, y'all might be waiting on Behind the Blue Curtain, and there ain't no more Behind the Blue Curtain. It's just going to be the reruns. Or I may be looking for y'all on Facebook. And you know, like my friend Ernest Django, you know, one minute he was answering the post with me. That's a good brother, man. Follow the show, follow me from the beginning. Then all of a sudden he's gone. It was just like that. So, you know, we got to make the best of our time and learn each other and progress forward. You're not going to like everything everybody says, and you're not going to like everything everybody does. But we got to learn from people. That's what we got to do. I learn from you guys every day, and I try to give you guys some of the stuff that I see from the inside that there's not a whole lot of people kicking the doors down to tell you about. But, you know, we're going to keep doing these shows, and we're going to keep having these hard topics and these hard discussions, because that's how we get to some hard, some real answers. I got a late caller in here from 254, so 3496. You got about a minute, brother. What's up?
Hey, Stan. This is Mike. How you doing, Stan?
Hey. All right, man. What's going on?
Hey, man. I like the show. I just, first time I've ever called in and really just listened to it, man. And you got some great things going there, you know. And I really like what you said, Stan. You know, in terms of, you know, it's not a black thing or a white thing. You know, you already know that I'm married to a white woman, and so you know, I think it's a mindset that people have. You know, racism is to me, I think, a pulse. And you know, so I think once we get out of that mindset, because even on my way home from work this morning, I saw a white DPS trooper helping a black woman on the side of the road change her tire. And so, you know, I know all white people aren't bad, and I know all black people aren't bad. You know, even like when I'm out eating with my wife sometimes, we out at the store sometimes. Sometimes, you know, black people even mistreat her with me present. And so,
if I'm with her,
she can't be too much of a threat. But, you know, and sometimes it's hard for me as a black man, to stay safe, because I try to lock that beast there in the basement. And when, you know, you threaten her or you mess with her, it's like that beast is kicking at the door. And, you know, but, you know, I think, again, you know, we got to change our mindset, you know. And I want to say about that thing in Georgia, and I'm going to leave it alone. That was really sad with that old lady in Georgia. And it was a shame that those guys would. It was a shame that those guys were even standing in front of that dash cam like that. It's like they almost wanted to be seen. I would have been too ashamed to even stand in front of that dash cam, and then to look in her car and keep going back to the car and looking as if almost like they were planning something. Don't they have to have reasonable suspicion or something like that to be searching the car, Stan?
But yeah. But Mike, here's the thing on that video. When I see it, this is what I see from it. I've seen white folks outraged about it. I've seen black folks outraged about it. When are the blue folks going to get outraged about it? I want to hear what the cops think about it. All that should have happened there. She didn't want to sign the ticket. You write refuse to sign your video. Hand her her copy and go down the road. She don't pay, come back, get her signature check. It didn't have to go there.
Exactly.
So these are the type of incidents where I want to hear from the police officers around the country. I want to know what you think. These guys, if that was our profession. There's no racial divide in how that woman was treated. Everybody agreed she was treated harm.
But that now, was too many officers. There was just too many officers for one old lady. It's like if a person was going to rob the bank on the other side of town, all they have to do is is work out a plan there.
Yeah, but, Mike, we saw a video of a groundhog get gunned down in the middle of a highway this week. So, you know, nothing surprising
I saw that.
Anymore, you know.
Yeah.
But, hey, I appreciate you calling in, man. We're going to get ready to get out of here, man, bro. Now you got the number, man. Get in the show every week because we be lighting it up in here.
Absolutely.
You know,
definitely,
we be lighting
like
it up.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Appreciate
good
you,
deal.
Brother. And to everybody,
man, have a good
man,
weekend,
the Facebook
man.
Live crew. All right, Mike. The Facebook Live crew, man, you guys are great. I appreciate you guys tuning in. You know, even when I see y'all around town, y'all always show me a little bit of love, give me a shout out when I'm working them night shifts. Because, you know, if I catch you somewhere you shouldn't be, I'm going to holler at you in front of everybody. But love you guys. Everybody have a safe weekend. Be careful. Don't get in no trouble. Listen to the right people, because when you listen to the wrong people.
Oh, I see it again. You've been had. You've been took. You've been hoodwinked, bamboozled, led astray, run amok.
Ladies and gentlemen, please sit back, because you are now about to go behind the blue curtain.
Get down.